It really was. I was, those kind of banquets and things. I mean, my wife knows I'm a romantic and all that, but you know, that's about as far as it goes. We had a great time. I laughed so hard, my stomach hurt last night. And that does good for a person. You know, I can't remember the last time I laughed that hard over the not so newlywed game. That was great. So thank you for involving us in that. What a blessing. Enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning. That was wonderful. Brother Auger, and I found out that it's stupid to be lazy. Amen? I heard that. I'm in, man. I would thought, this is my class right here. I can get this. Amen? And so what a blessing. But praise the Lord. We're glad to be here. We're going to open the Word of God. Greatest thing in the world is preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And so we're going to do that. And the greatest thing you and I can do is this: yield to the Word of God. Amen. Just yield to it. And let Him have His way and do what He wants with us. If you will, find your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start there, and we're going to take a tour across some scriptures. We'll head to another chapter to explain a little bit more about what God wants us to get. Now, I don't plan on giving you anything that's out there or something that you're going to have to really strain, but you do have to pay attention. Amen? One thing to help you in church is pay attention. I mean, get yourself locked in and focused on the Word of God, on the preacher's voice, amen, on the movement of what God is doing and what He's trying to do in your life, and not fight against it, but lock yourself into where you can go with the way He's going. Or if you're going to follow Christ, if we're going to follow God, then you got to go the way He's going. Right. You're not going to lead Him. You're not going to walk beside Him, as a lot of folks said. You're going to follow Him. You're going to behold His hinder parts, and you're going to walk where He's going. So you got to take that path that He's on. You're not going to cut a new mold. You're not going to forge a new era, you know, era of living. You're going to follow Him. Amen. Right. You say, well, gee, preacher, that really helps out a bunch. I was kind of going to want to do my own thing. That's not Christianity. That's why it's called Christianity. It's after Christ. We're going to look today at faith being covered by sin. Faith being covered by sin. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says this: "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, Lord, we need your help today for sure. There's no way in of ourselves we can do anything that would be right, decent, and proper. Now, Father, I pray that you would just have all the words. Lord, I'd just be a voice for you today, and that the Holy Spirit would take over, and that, Father, we'd truly focus in on how our lives are before you. Now, Lord, if there are lost and undone folks here today, dear God, I pray they'd see that there's no hope for them outside of Christ, and they need to repent and turn towards you. But Father, for us that are saved today, I pray that we'd look and see just how that wonderful faith that you give to us, how hidden is it below sins that we've harbored and we've kept in. God, now I pray you deal with us in your great and mighty way, for we sure do love you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. May be seated. Thank you. It is a blessing. I really do enjoy your pastor. Just like he said, we run into each other different places across the country, but I enjoy staying on the Word of God. I mean, I believe that a pastor ought to stand on the Bible. I mean, you can have all kinds of causes and all kinds of things, but to take that Bible and stand in that place, and you show folks the way of the Word of God. You show the folks the way the way that Christ walked on this earth. You show them that. And I appreciate that about him. And just always enjoyed visit with him. And we do live close enough. We should have coffee or something every once in a while. But I know how that goes. But God gives us faith when we accept Christ as our Savior. Amen? I mean, he takes and he puts us in that place where we can understand and we yield to him, and he puts that faith in there so we can call on him. I remember when I was an 8-year-old boy that God gave me the ability to understand that I was a sinner, lost and undone, and I had to turn to Him and accept Him as my Savior. I can remember that day clear as I'm standing here now, and I praise God for that. I'm glad that there's things I forget, there's things that I can't remember. Your pastor, he does that too, we found out, amen, he couldn't remember. I'd been here before, but obviously wasn't that impressive, so he couldn't remember, and I can appreciate that because I have a tough time remembering too, but and I can almost remember being here the last time. That's been several years ago. But God gives us that ability. He puts it in there, and he helps us to understand what we're supposed to do. As somebody tells us this wonderful, glorious gospel, it for lack of a better word, but it clicks. It goes off. We see it, and we say, hey, that's the truth. That's exactly what I need. And so we turn and accept Christ, and the fact that He shed His blood on the cross that covers our sins, and we honor that in our lives. And then that faith that He puts in there for us to believe, that faith then is put there to grow and to be expressed. It is to be seen. It is to be beheld. Not that we live for somebody else, but beheld by the Father in heaven. Amen. It's to be beheld before Him. This is where we please and honor Him, is by that faith that we exhibit. And God gives us that faith when we accept Christ as our Savior. That faith is not to be hid at all. But when we keep sin as our treasure, then it's covered. Then there's something that is withholding or blocking that being revealed. For that faith to grow and blossom, we must shine. We've got to shine. And I'm not into this big idea of, you know, everybody laying their hands and doing all that nonsense. I don't believe in that. But I believe Christian ought to shine and glow with the glory of God because of the obedience of the Word of God that's in his life or in her life. We must uncover it. We've got to uncover that faith. And we've got to keep it uncovered if it's going to become profitable. Now, I could tell. I mean, obviously, here we know that you get a lot of line upon line, precept upon precept, and how it should be. No doubt about that. But even in a situation like this, we've got to make the decision that that's going to become the priority of our life. You sat here today. Maybe some of you are visiting. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're saying, maybe you've been in church for a long time and you're not understanding, or you've just rebelled maybe and said, well, I'm not going to accept Christ as Savior because I don't want to give up. I don't want to let go of the world that I'm in. I don't want to let go of the things that I'm doing. I don't want to let go maybe of my sin. Let me tell you today that you have sin covering the truth. You have sin covering the truth of what really happens. Everybody here that's saved would say the greatest day of your life is when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Amen. There's nobody here that would say any less than that if you're saved. Amen? You would openly, we could have people that would jump at the chance to stand up and tell about when they got saved. Well, there should be. You should not be ashamed of that. It ought to be easy to come off your lips. Why do you have hope? Well, I remember when I was lost and undone in sin, and Christ come save me. Let me tell you about that. Amen. Let's look at the covering of sin. Now, you see here, God tells us that we're the salt of the earth, and then He tells us that we're the light of the world, and that because He's the light of the world and being in us, and He tells us that the candle's not hid in verse 15, and He tells us, He commands us, let your light so shine before men. That's a commandment, by the way. He's telling you to do that. To let it shine. That they see your good works, and because they see your good works, they glorify you, right? No. The Bible says they see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. We got to remember that. It's not for us to get glory. We can't handle it. We're not worthy of it. But He is. That's not, you can't go up to somebody and pat them on the back and say, hey, good job. But all our glory and praise and honor needs to go to God. And a life that's lived for God and a life that is full of faith and revealed faith is going to bring glory and honor to God. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there that they take this thing and they want all the glory of themselves. They're going to all shine themselves up and make themselves look good and make sure they're the one that's seen, and God's not within 100 yards of what they're doing. Amen. That can't be us. We are set free by the truth. Amen. And so in doing that, we, in having that faith that God has given to us, we got to be careful of the covering of sin. Now, if you would, we won't come back here right now, but go over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. There's some things that has to happen. Now, first off, as I mentioned before, you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. You need to make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. God, the Son of God, is your Savior. Amen. We got preaching the prisons quite a bit. I enjoy doing that. I like going into those places. Amen. My wife says maybe I feel at home there. I don't know. But I know this. I like going to preach. But the one thing that they've got to understand, one thing that's got to happen when you're in there is this. If you're going to do anything for God, and like I tell them, they've got to be Bible saved. Man saved doesn't work. Now, I don't know if any of you have been into prisons, things like that, but I'm sure maybe jail ministry, there's all kinds of everything in there. It's just like out in the world. I mean, they'll tell you that because you had a warm, fuzzy feeling, you're saved. They'll tell you because you woke up one night and thought you had a dream, you're saved. And all these other things. And men cling to that. Ladies cling to that. They'll say, oh yeah, I remember when I got saved, I was out in a garden and mud squished up between my toes. And I had this wonderful feeling. And I'm saved. Now, I don't go in making fun of them when I'm in there. Amen. But I will tell them the truth. You need to be Bible saved. You don't need to be the reason we got saved. The reason we know about salvation is the Word of God. We need to understand that the Word of God is there to direct us and guide us to Christ. And it does it in salvation. It does it after salvation. So today, if you're here, if you want that faith inside of you, if you want that faith to be able to be there where it can come out, then you've got to be saved by the Word of God. You've got to be at that place where the Word of God showed you how to be saved. I'm not telling you that somebody took the Bible and opened it up and showed you, but that's generally how folks accept Christ as Savior. Amen. But somebody told you the Word of God. Somebody showed you the Word. So you got a hold of a tract, something by the Word of God you got a hold of, and it pierced your heart. The Holy Spirit convicted you, and you turned to Christ. And you realize I'm a sinner and got to repent and realize that the blood of Christ covered your sin. Amen. That's Bible saved. And you need to be Bible saved. So if that's not you today, like Pastor said a little bit ago, man, get with him. Why waste another day? Why waste your life with darkness inside of you? Why not have that wonderful faith that has the glorious light of God inside of you and let it come forth, amen, and make something of you and make something of your life, give you that ability to live life and enjoy it. I'm not ashamed of being saved. I love it. I like being saved. If I have anything, it's because God, I mean, look, there ain't much here. Amen. I'm not telling you, I don't have pedigree. Amen. I don't know what I come from. Maybe a Cocker Spaniel. I'm not sure. But I'm just saying, there's nothing here. But I'll tell you this. God took nothing, made something out of it. Allowed me to pastor church. Allowed me to visit with people and tell them about Jesus. Give me wonderful family. And I get to enjoy it. I know where it come from. Amen. That's because I got saved. Because Christ had pity on a little bitty boy in Vacation Bible School back years and years ago. Amen. But understand this. If you don't have that, then there's darkness inside. And you need it. And you need it. Please don't leave here today without it. Please. I guarantee you, this pastor and folks in this church, they'll sit for as long as it takes explaining to you the Word of God and praying with you and showing you. Amen. They care. You got to come to Christ. It's going to be too late one of these days. Think about this. What preacher said, every time I hear it, I think about it. What if Christ does come back this afternoon? And you said no this morning. Man, you're in trouble. A place called hell is going to be your home. Oh, don't put it off. But for us that are saved, let me show you something here. Romans chapter 7, go to verse number 1. Now, we're going to look first at the covering of sin. It says this, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound to, by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, with that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Now understand this. God here in chapter 7 gives us a very detailed account of how this life can go. Now he gives a comparison of our marriage on this earth, and a marriage that we have to Christ by being saved, amen, and by coming to Him, and by being in the body of Christ, it says here. Understand this, he gives a comparison, a picture of this, of being an outward display, or a display that's covered, or a display that's not outward, it's not open, it's not given to the glory of God, it's given to the glory of the flesh, which is no glory. Because see, the covering of sin, we find the flesh and fleshly activities. With the covering of sin, we find flesh and fleshly activities. You ought to ask yourself the question this. Do you enjoy spiritual things? Do you look forward to it? Do you anticipate it? Spiritual things. Do you look forward? Do you enjoy reading your Bible? That's a spiritual thing. Do you look forward and enjoy? Of having that prayer time to pray, to go before God, to seek His face, to think that the God of the universe, the God of all things, the God of creation, that He would talk with you, that He would converse with you through His Word. And I'm not talking about in your ear. I'm talking about in your heart and the intents of the heart and the peace that passes understanding that He gives to us, that He would take time to interact with you. I'm still amazed over that. I can't get over that He would talk to me. I sometimes ask Him, Lord, why would you even waste time with me? There's some things that takes us a while to get right, isn't there? Some things that take a little while for us to understand, but maybe we're kind of thick-headed. I don't know about you, but I'll confess it. My wife's hard-headed. Amen? Yeah, y'all scared to say amen there too. You must know her. I only do that in front of a bunch of people. Got witnesses. But no, I get hard-headed. I get to where I can't get it. Sometimes she'll tell me things two or three times. I'm sitting there now, wait a minute. It comes to directions or anything like that. I know where I'm going. Even if it's the wrong way, I still know I'm going the wrong way. Especially after she tells me. But I'm just understand we've got to see that we can be hard-headed about some things. We can have that thickness that stops this mind from grasping it. And that thickness that stops this mind from grasping, that's pride. That's arrogancy. The Bible calls it the evil way. We've got to realize that the flesh and the fleshly activities and doing these things puts us in a place where we don't accept the spiritual things. We don't look forward to them. Do you look forward to church? not just because I'm preaching, I was looking forward to coming to church this morning. I was kind of excited. I like listening to people teach the Word of God. And I was excited about being in the Sunday school class this morning. Say, what? Well, don't you like to? Oh, I love to teach and preach. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I like to sit there and just take it in. I was excited about that this morning. I was thinking about that this morning. Because I didn't think I was teaching a Sunday school class. I wasn't sure last night, but I didn't think I was. And I got it this morning. And he said, no. I was like, yeah, because I sat back. I filled out my paper. He handed out the papers in Brother Auger's class. I filled that thing out, filled out the other side. Amen. Made some notes in my Bible. Amen. It's awesome. I don't know how your class went, but his went good. I got it too. Had it down there where I could understand it. I like that. I don't like when I get around folks that put it way up where I can't reach it. That don't take much, so I mean, I hope they see real quick. They got to put it down there where I can get a hold of it. But if they don't, you want to know, understand something? God will do it for me. He bring it down there, and he'll put it down here and say, look, they're talking way out there. Let me show you this. I don't ever go to church looking to say, oh, how bad is it? I go to a meeting or something, hear other people preach, other men get up there and expound the Word of God. I'm looking for something. I'm not sitting there going, well, how bad so-and-so is or how bad. Why? I'm excited to be there. Are you excited about the things that are you excited about spiritual things? Are you excited about, there's one thing, man, in families, your kids and kids around ought to see you excited about spiritual things. They ought to be thrilled. You ought to be the number one cheerleader for, I know some of you are pretty ugly cheerleaders, but I'm just saying that you ought to be the number one cheerleader for your pastor and for your Sunday school teacher stuff. Man, don't be that one. Are you excited about spiritual things? Well, I love church, but no, I hate that stuff. No, you want to know something? I love church. I love the Bible. I love that I can pray. I love tithing and give offerings. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but I like to tithe and give offerings. I do. That's a blessing. Amen. See, and here he gives us these fleshly things. He puts some things that we can relate to, and he says, and he uses marriage, he uses true marriage to compare to how we are to Christ and how Christ feels when you know we cover up that light, that wonderful, great, glorious thing that he gives to us. You know, I would hate it if my wife covered up the fact that I'm married to her. You know, if she took and she, I wear wedding, I wore a wedding ring for almost 30 years. Amen. No kidding. No, we got a new one. I cut the other one off after I put this one on because I said, I'm married. They told me in the Army when I was in the Army, they said, you got to cover up your wedding ring. I said, nah. Or take it off. I said, I'll put a glove on it. When we was out, you know, maneuvers and night and all that stuff. I said, I'll put a glove on it, but I'm not taking it off. I put it on purpose. I'm not ashamed that she's my wife. She's the best part of us. Amen. You all wanted to say amen there. You're just polite. But understand, he compares it here. But then he says, but then we have, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins. You know, this flesh carries with it sin. The Bible says in this flesh does no good thing. It tells us that this flesh is a problem. This flesh is a distraction. This flesh takes and will move us away from God because doing the activities of the flesh means we have to choose the flesh over the activities of the Word of God. Because the flesh is going to want to do some things. And we've got to tell the flesh no. See, the flesh, the flesh, if it's deciding for you what you do, then you've got your faith covered. If your flesh is telling you what to do, you say, well, my flesh tells me. I understand about having aches and pains and being older. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes my flesh says, you better sit down. Even though my spirit says, oh, I can keep going. Sometimes my flesh says, that was the wrong thing to do. You feel the pain? My spirit says, I can keep doing this. I found out the older I get, the more of those I have. I'm talking about when the flesh says, you know, I'm tired and it's church on Sunday morning. And I give you those illustrations because we can relate to that, but you can apply it back to the thing. I want to be angry at my wife, and the flesh says, do it. Amen? Because the flesh will tell you inside of you, I want to be angry, you wives out there. I want to be angry at my husband. And the flesh says, do it. You right. You've got a right. Or you kids sitting here, flesh says, hey, I want to rebel against my parents. I know what they said. And your flesh says, oh, do it anyway. They don't understand. See, this is the flesh and the activities of the flesh, and this is the flesh deciding for you what to do. This is covering your faith. See, the flesh covers what's inside. You can't see my heart beating. Amen, I can't see yours, can I? Can't see the blood pumping through it because the flesh covers it. We also can't see the inner man, can we? Because the flesh covers it. But you know what God wants to do? He wants to bring that inner man out. When you're saved, He wants to bring that one that He's created, that new creature inside, He wants to bring that out. But our flesh, that flesh covers it, and it keeps it in a place where it's not seen. It keeps it so that the flesh is what's seen. See, we got to understand what's in the flesh. Verse 6 there tells us of chapter 7, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. See, the law, it affects our flesh. You don't believe me? You've heard this before. You've seen it. Try speeding and see those red lights. Amen? What's your flesh do? Hit the brake. Right? Your flesh pushes the brake. Your flesh gets nervous. Now, if you're doing the speed limit, while I'm driving along, I'm doing the speed limit, they don't bother me at all. Much. Right? See, your flesh responds to those things because and those things of the law. And it's the same way at the Word of God. Your flesh, it wants to keep inside that which is against or contrary to the law in such a fashion that it wasn't that it was the flesh, the law is against it, but the law reveals what's really in the flesh. Like when preacher gets up and preaches and, man, he gets on, you know, the thing that nobody else knows but you know. Your flesh gets nervous, doesn't it? You start feeling that inside of you, like, oh, wow. I wonder if he knows. There's no way he could know. Right? You have all that. I've had people come out and get done preaching and say, how did you know about that? Well, I didn't know about it. Well, boy, I'm sure struggling with this. See, the flesh covers what's inside. The flesh covers up what's been put inside. Now, understand, if you're lost here today, there's a darkness inside of you, and how great that darkness, and that flesh covers that darkness, and there's really nothing to get out because the flesh is just as dark as that darkness. But if you are saved here today, you have inside of you that faith that God gives to you, that wonderful, glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ that's inside of you. And it's in the heart, not the blood pumping muscle in your chest, but the center of your emotions. And it wants to come out. It wants to be seen. God wants it to be seen. But the flesh doesn't want it to be seen because it causes the flesh to behave. It causes the flesh to walk right. See, the flesh is the cover, is what covers our faith, but it also encases or covers our sin. So what's it say here about letting the flesh out? Or letting your faith out? It says about letting the flesh out. We're going to look about letting your faith out. Verse number 22 in chapter 7. I read you the whole passage to give you the gist, but I'm not going to go through every bit of it for time's sake. But it says letting your faith out. Verse number 22. What are we going to do? How do you do this? How do you let, especially in this world, everybody makes fun of the person that decides to do right and follow God, don't they? I mean, I work at a public school. Amen? I'm a maintenance man at a public school. Now, personally, I like doing it. It's a good thing. I get to be around a lot of the kids that we bring in church. Or I did until this COVID thing hit. But there's always those that want to belittle, isn't there? You let your faith out, and they immediately, you know, well, I believe in, oh, you're one of those. Now, in church, we're all wearing capes. We're all super Christians. Amen. We all got a big C on our chest. We're great. Amen. There's no challenge here. There's nobody. There's exactly the opposite, isn't it? There's going to be some here that if you don't act the way you should, they're going to come and say, hey, what's wrong with you? Maybe not. They're going to do it lovingly, probably, I hope. But I'm just saying, they're going to come and confront you, right? Here, it's not a big deal. You could say, praise God. You can pray. I always ask our men at our churches, are the prayers at your home as eloquent as the ones you pray here out loud? Are they as meaningful? You know, do they mean the same, or are they just as hollow at home as they are here? That makes a difference. See, and this is the thing. When we come to admitting where we're at and letting that faith out, we've got to realize that the world's always going to be against faith. It's never going to grab your hand and say, let's go, come on, let's go. We're going to have a good time together. The world will never do that. The world will never grab a hold of you and say, oh, I'm so glad you're a Christian. Amen? Church folk and the body of Christ, we should hear. This group that comes together and forms a body here in Knob Nostra, we should. You should be encouraging one to kick him in the hind end and say, hey, let's do it. Live for God, right? But the world's not going to do that. They're going to try to make it so your flesh says, let's keep this inside. Let's keep this covered. Let's keep this, let's keep this between you and God. See, verse 22 says this. He goes on, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Inside. I can't tell you, but man, it's been refreshing to be down here. It's not that I love, my favorite place to be is the church where I belong. It is. I love them there, but it's been refreshing to be here. Last night, like I said, that laughter did me good. It was wonderful. And to fellowship with folks, it did wonders for me in here. You might have ever noticed on the outside, well, I couldn't help that goofy laugh I've got. Amen. I couldn't help it last night. But I'm just saying that in here, it helped that inward man, as he says here. He says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love the Word of God just does something to the inside of this in here. It puts a spur. It encourages. It strengthens. It gives you vision. Amen. I'm not kidding you. There's sometimes you hear preaching and you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen. I mean, you're ready to take off, right? That's because your inward man, when you're saved, that inward part, that faith that God's put in there, it gets a charge from it. It gets that glory that only He can have. I mean, no wonder when Moses spent time with God, he glowed. It all come out. But the flesh covers what's inside. And we've got to let that faith out. And he says here, for I delight in the law after I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's in this flesh. You say, well, preacher, what do we do? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us the answer. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. It's Him. He's the answer. I mean, we can get up here and preach an eloquent message, and you can have one that really gets you fired up, but it's going to come down to how you respond to Jesus Christ, how you respond to the Word of God. It's going to come down to what you do with that. You can have the best preacher in the world. Well, the second best preacher. My group's got the best. But anyway, you can have the best preacher in the world. And it does nothing for you because you don't respond right to the Word of God. Say, so, okay, preacher, how do you respond right? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. First thing, just throw this in here, be thankful for it. Yeah, that's right. Be thankful you're saved. Thankful you got someplace that preaches the Word of God. Thankful you got opportunity. Just be thankful. Have a thankful attitude. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Say, what do you mean? Understand where you're at. Admit the flesh is sinful. Admit your flesh is wrong. That's hard, isn't it? We don't like being wrong, but admit that flesh is wrong. I'm proof to your flesh is wrong. We bury it. We get rid of it when you die. Just admit the flesh is wrong. Well, you know what? I know my old flesh is wrong. I don't trust my flesh. Amen. It's sinful. Just admit it's wrong. Admit it that it's a problem. Admit it that it's not where you're supposed to be. Admit that, hey, you know what? It's full of sin. I'm a sinner. I know it. I know that my flesh is sinful. I'm so glad I'm a saved sinner. Amen. I'm so glad that God took time to love me and save me. Give me the wisdom and truth to understand it. We got to admit we got this sinful flesh. I have sinned, and I can't make excuse for it. That's a tough place. I have sinned, I can't make excuse for it. You're a thief, admit you're a thief. Don't make excuse for it. Correct it. Need to be saved, be saved, and then let the inner man out. But if you're saved and you're a thief, you're saved and you rob, steal. So I don't steal from people. Well, we won't get into what thieving is, but a man can rob from God. Admit it. Don't make excuse. Well, it just ain't working out. I can do that. Just ain't working out. I can. Oh no, Lord, I'm this old flesh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you please cleanse me of this, and then go forth and live from that saved inner man, that faith. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to your flesh. But don't make excuse for it. That's all we're doing anymore is making excuses. You know, it gets old after a while. It does in my life. Every time I go to God, well, Lord, you know. I know God knows. I don't need to tell him. All I need is agree with him. Sin. Admitting the sinful flesh. I have sinned. This flesh likes sin. Admit it. Admit it. It's not that we're going to accept it and go off and sin. Just admit it does. Get in the right place. And then decide that you're going to serve the law of God. Amen. You're going to serve the law of God. Well, I mean, verse 25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind myself, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. You decide you're going to serve the law of God. Make up your mind that, you know, the law of God's going to be what's critical. You know, when I first started out, I made up my mind that I was going to go to church. I was going to be faithful to the Word of God. I was going to cut out other things so I could do the things of God. I did. When God showed me what He wanted to do with my life, He put that call He was talking about on my life. You betcha. I said, no, Lord, you're first. I love to hunt and fish. I like to do that kind of thing. Amen? Some of you are right. But anyway, I like to hunt and fish and do that kind of thing. I told God, I said, I'm going to cut it all out. And you add back. I did this back when I first started training for the ministry. I said, you add back what you want. I went several years there. I didn't do anything like that. I think He was trying to see if I was serious. Now He knows. I understand that. Then He started adding some of that back in. I could do a lot of it now. But we've got to put our focus on serving the law of God. We've got to take the Word of God seriously and let this control our mind. Choosing God's Word over how you think. I think this way. I'm tired. It's Sunday morning. I'm not going to church. The Word of God says, don't forsake it. Go. Or you might be sitting here right now and say, Lord, my flesh says, I can't wait to get out of here because I don't know how I stand with you, Lord. And the Word of God says, come. Come unto me. Doesn't He say that? Come unto me, all you that are burdened, heavy laden. Oh, if you'll bring that honesty before Him and say, look, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. And I need Christ's favor. I guarantee you, there's folks here, Pastor, will take God's Word and show you God's way to God's heaven through God's book. What about it today? Is your faith covered by sin? There's only one thing you can do about that to start. Let's get on an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, you're right. You're right. My faith's been covered by sin. There's a lost and dying world out there. that needs to see true Christianity. Your witness will become something when there's real Christianity behind it. But a lot of people fail in their witness. They try and try and try, but there's not true Christianity behind it. There's not true faithfulness toward God. There's all this sin that's covering that light, so therefore, the witness you put forth means nothing. It has no power behind it. I mean, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about that charity that's got to go forth from that faith and that light that's inside of you. He says you're nothing without it. And when it's all covered up by sin, why don't today we come clean with God? Saved and lost alike, why don't we come clean with God? Could we do that? Could we let faith be uncovered today? And let's do this. Let's have sin be covered. If you're lost, let's let sin be covered by the blood of Christ. If you're saved, let's let sin be put away from us. It's already been covered. But let it be put away. And let the glorious, wonderful light of Jesus Christ shine through us. You'd be amazed how much difference it'd make in people. You'd be amazed how glorious it is in your life. Some of you'd actually smile all the time. Amen. What about it today? Would you really be honest with God? Can we be truthful? Here in just a second, I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor Mary. But don't let in that transition, don't let in that change, and you say, well, you know, no. Every one of us, let's be real. Let's really look at this. Am I faith being covered? Not left or right, not front or back, just you and God. What about it today? What about it? Please stand if you would.